Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is another blessed day to be on here with you guys, standing for this nation and for the Office of the President and God's will for this nation to be done, which is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And want to first remind everyone that we are having an online prophetic flex for those who were not able to be on last time. I know we did it for the pipeline, but now we're opening up to anybody. I'll put the link below here after the show so you can share it with everyone. But today we want to, again, start off in scripture and just simply focus on what we need to be focusing on so that we can gain the proper perspective to be able to have the right words to say to those who were weary in this season. And the verse that I want to bring up is out of Isaiah 50, verse 4, and it's just plain simple, where Isaiah says, "The Lord has given me the tongues of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple." As we're reordering our day, the prayer focus given here out of the book from Chuck Pierce, he says, "Ask the Lord to give you a right word for every moment throughout your day ahead." And this is honestly a foundation that I, before going through this, have already applied, because David talks about in Psalms about, "Give me an eye to hear, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your heart, Father." And built on the principle David does of gaining the Father's heart. And this is especially in this season of real focus of what we need to do as people have been in isolation. There's reports continually come out constantly about how suicide has gone up through COVID, alcoholism, drug addictions. We've seen all this happen, and it's now time to be that light in the people's lives that we're around in an everyday basis. And especially with what's going on in the world right now, is looking through the news, reading for it. Okay, God, what is your perspective? What can we be doing? Is it just, Father, give us the wisdom from your heart to be able to speak a word of life into the weary of those who may have given up or who are on the edge, may give up, not just life in general, but in the stances and the calls that God has given on their life. So let's take this as a momentum shifter for our lives so that we don't become weary, number one, but that we can be a light and a change agent for those around us. Okay. So I want to shift into the news. A few things. I do want to highlight some of the conversations that are happening with the Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson. It's very alarming, and I'll get to that here in a second. But first, I want to start with the news. A little bit of COVID news and stuff about the president. Jim Paskey has again been tested positive for COVID after having all the shots and everything required from the CDC. Exposing some of the hypocrisy there. And so she will not be going on this trip with Biden to Europe. That's a key thing to know out of that. But then we also have of this meeting in Europe with Biden and the EU allies, a G7 meeting, and then he'll go to Warsaw, is it's going to focus on whether the sanctions in Russia are working, humanitarian aids out of Poland, and then also how each of Europe and the United States can help understand and deal with China and their support for Russia in this season. And they're all of a sudden shocked that this would happen because they're, for whatever reason, not thinking these decisions through. And we want to pray for not only wisdom for our leaders and the Biden administration specifically with what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, but for how they handle China in this season, because there's out of this report from Reuters that a Biden official said, the challenges that we face are the same ones Europeans face. And so I really do think that there is an inflection point here in many ways. And there's a host of reasons why that is. I'm not here to get into that, but we want to pray for wisdom for our leaders on this. Pray against World War III, obviously, and how they deal with China. But then also, we want to continue to pray for Biden as he goes overseas. We'll be completely around staff. There will be no Delaware for him to go to. There will be no place for him to hide off into. He's going to be in the public eye. He's going to be in front of public leaders. So we want to pray and continue to pray during the rest of this week that he is in Europe and Brussels and then going to Poland. Pray for that blanket of protection to be around him during these moments so that his staff doesn't take advantage of him during these moments of dementia. He will be under a lot of stress in these meetings, high-level conversations, and he needs to be adept. He needs to be sharp. Obviously, that's a very, very big concern that we need to have for him and could expose to the rest of the world how really far gone he really is, because this is one of the first trips he's taken outside the United States in a while. He needs prayer right now and in the days ahead. And then updates coming out of Israel of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine is it's being reported by the Jerusalem Post that the Russian losses in Ukraine exceed what the Soviet Union lost in Afghanistan, and it was a tremendous loss for them there. So things are starting to mount up. Now, the question is how bad does Putin want Ukraine? How bad does he want those resources? Because this is becoming a war for resources for Russia in Ukraine, because Ukraine has a rich, rich natural resource within its land, and then also the ability to be able to produce and could cause harm. We talked about a little bit yesterday about how it's going to bring potential harm to food supplies around the world because of 40% of the world's grain come from Ukraine and Russia. And so as we prepare for the longevity of the future, is how bad does Russia really want it? We know the past Soviet leaders do not care about its people and will send them to the flocks to die. Well, actually, during World War II, you either went forward and died or they shot you when you tried to retreat. So do they have that same mindset? Possibly. I think we don't really know yet, because they haven't put themselves in that position yet. But that's where Putin, the mindset of where Putin and those who are underneath him are coming from. Another point of something we need to be aware of and pray for wisdom for our leaders, but also another thing to be aware of is that there are Russians who are struggling to enter the United States via Mexico as they quote-unquote try to seek asylum. And thankfully right now Mexico is keeping them in Mexico because federal judges have forced the Biden administration to implement the Remain in Mexico policy. Now, that doesn't stop them from – this is for those who are legally trying to come. That doesn't stop them from just buying, as we've seen before, buying a vehicle, getting across the border, dumping it, and then disappearing into the United States. And then what happens there? You're not able to vet who these people are. Meanwhile, they're letting in Ukrainians. Okay, that humanitarian, that looks good, but are we vetting these people? Are we seeing who these are? Are they really seeking asylum? Is there really a claim there? So there's wisdom that needs to be had there on these scenarios. And I lay the groundwork for this because we need to understand what's going on. Okay, this is happening. This is happening. So that we can be aware, sober of what's happening in this season, but also be aware of the potential concerns that we could have in the coming seasons of the fruits and the results of this open border, of having a leadership such as this. I'll just simply say that. Also on the COVID front, talked about it before, talked about it for months, is A lot of the data around the COVID deaths has been overreported. And again, the CDC has lowered its COVID death because of a quote-unquote data entry error and not explaining why. More than 72,000 deaths have been taken away from the COVID count. So these claims that they're saying all this stuff, it's worse, it's this and that. Again, a lot of this data does not differentiate between those who died from COVID and those who died with COVID and the underlying concerns that are there. I point this out because you're starting to see now that it's convenient for people to do so, to shift the narrative. What happens next? Do we go back and do we deal with the falsehoods of this? That's a question to be concerned, but I think this is very important to understand. If something else like this were to arise, what needs to be had? What are the decisions that need to be made? How do we look at this? And I think we can learn from this past season rather than just get upset, get angry, is learn, okay, something like this were to ever arrive, what are the questions we need to ask? What is the truth? What are they trying to tell us? Are they being general, saying this, that, and the other? Or are they being really specific with what's happening, what it causes, how we can tell? Because a lot of the things were very generic on it. So just take that and stick it in on the shelf and walk that out. Now, I want to spend a little time on some of the responses from Ketanji Brown Jackson. And know this, is that unless something significantly changes, she will be put in office. And so if we look at these things, we can get weary. But I want to look at these things on the focus of knowing what could possibly be coming down the line from possible decisions that she will be sitting on part of and the influence that will she will be interjecting. You know, we talked about how when Amy Coney Barrett, we had prophetic of how Amy Coney Barrett, when she got in office, she would be a position for life. And now when Ketanji Brown Jackson gets in, it's in a very, very alarming position that she will be able to influence and the influences that she's had. And so I want to make people aware of the responses that she herself has said, her record on things that she has done, just a brief ruling and some other things going on. But the first, and I'm not even going to play a comment on her when she was asked to define the women. And she says, I'm not a biologist. That's clear and simple. It's agenda driven. So that's very alarming. Number one. Number two, I want to play this clip from Senator Kennedy, who asks her a very, very specific question, gives it to her in layman's terms, and then asks her a judicial question. And you can see the balking at not wanting to answer the question, because let's understand this, is she doesn't have to answer any questions right now. Yes, she's there. She's being quote unquote interviewed, but she doesn't have to give a real answer. And she's not even given a proper answer of, well, I'm not going to state my opinion because it could come up in the court. She's not saying that a lot, which is what Amy Coney Barrett, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh would say. She's just, well, I really don't know. You're a judge. You have an opinion. Let's be honest. You're a human. You have an opinion. State, I'm not going to state because a case is coming out. She doesn't say this, but listen to what Senator Kennedy blast. Says.
When does life begin, in your opinion?
Senator, I don't know.
Ma'am?
I don't know.
Do you have a belief?
I have personal, religious, and otherwise beliefs that have nothing to do with.
So she first says, I don't know. And then he asks her a specific question of, you have your own belief? And this is her answer.
The law, in terms of when life begins.
Do you have a personal belief, though, about when life begins?
I have a religious view.
Religious belief?
That I set aside when I am ruling on cases.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, you would want to set aside your own personal beliefs. And as Amy Coney Barrett said, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh as well. There's nothing wrong with that. But not saying, hey, I have my own opinions, but I'm not going to state my opinion because a case could come up before me.
Okay. When does equal protection of the laws attach?
That is a great question. because that's a judicial question. That's something that she would possibly have to rule on and would show what type of judge she will be, not based on her personal beliefs, based upon her as a judge. And that's why she's there, for the senators to know who she is as a judge. Is she competent enough? How will she rule? Is this somebody we want to put on a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court? Listen to her response.
To a human being.
Well, Senator, I believe that the Supreme Court...
She wants to answer it, but watch this.
Actually, I actually don't know the answer to that.
Immediate pause. She knows she wants to answer it, but her training and what they've taught her is, oh, I don't have to answer it. I don't know.
That question, I'm sorry. I don't.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that question. You're a judge. You have an opinion. Like, you wouldn't be a judge if you didn't have an opinion and your ability to set that aside. That's one. Then I want to bring up some Ted Cruz on the whole child pornography thing. If you listen to Monday, her response to that question, basic question, she says, well, I look at the facts of the case and it depends upon the case and yada, yada, yada. But let's look at the evidence. Look at the evidence when you compare her rulings versus those of other courts and the precedent set from other cases on child pornography. Now, she says, well, I differentiate because the old severe problems were because of mail-in child pornography versus this is internet pornography. And how can we determine if they're more severe or less severe? I would say they're more severe because you understand the basics of computers and the ability to gather more information via computer than via hard copy mail. That would be very alarming. And you would want to not act like a legislature and rule based upon the precedence that is there. And if something needs to be changed, then let Congress, Senate, state legislatures deal with that. But here, we have to look at this to understand the facts of how she rules. Josh Hawley pointed this out. Ted Cruz points this out even more so.
Prosecutors are asking for it. I would note that this was in the District of Columbia, where prosecutors are far more liberal than many of the prosecutors in this country.
And so he's comparing her to liberal prosecutors, not conservative, Washington, D.C. liberal prosecutors who put sentencing on people who involving cases of child pornography.
And in every case in which, so United States versus Hess, there was a mandatory statutory minimum of 60 months and you imposed 60 months because you had no discretion. In United States versus Nickerson, there was a mutual agreement of the parties to 120 months and that's what you imposed. In every other case, United States versus Chazen, the prosecutor asked for 78 to 97 months. You imposed 28 months. 28 months is a 64% reduction. In United States versus Cooper, the prosecutor asked for 72 months. You imposed 60 months. That was a...
Let's look at this. Look at this. They're all below, all of them are below what the prosecutors are asking for. Some meet the minimums that the government is requiring. And then some, she just blows through the minimum and says, no, no, no. And also understand that she is on the board of the committee to deal with the offenses on this. And she wants to, and this is what Hawley points out, she wants to lower the standards that the government would put upon people who have child pornography convictions and who are found guilty of it. So I state that to say, here's the evidence. And her response is, well, it's case-by-case basis. And then the last thing on this that I want to share, which is very, very alarming, is a response and a questioning from Senator Josh Hawley himself in reading her responses. Not something that's made up, not reading into it. He's just asking simple questions about what her response is on a case. Listen to this.
Well, let's keep talking about this case.
And I'm just going to play this clip because it's the most important segment of the interaction between these two and the questions that they have, because this is he's very calm, very collected, just simply asking a simple question.
You also said to this very individual,
sad to see this,
who is an adult, tried as an adult, 18 years old. You also said to him, besides saying that you thought his victims were his peers, you also said there's no reason to think that you are a pedophile. And then you went on to say, again, that's another reason why you weren't going to give him, you're only going to give him 3 months because you had adjudged that he wasn't a pedophile. And then you said, and this is something I really...
Which wasn't proven in the case. The case showed that he had a basis of being a sexual predator, a pedophile.
Need your help understanding. Then you apologize to him.
Why? Your job is to be partial as a judge. She says that very often. But then when it's convenient for her to be an activist, she steps up and is an activist.
I just have to tell you, I can't quite figure this out. You said to him, this is a truly difficult situation. I appreciate that your family's in the audience. I feel so sorry for them and for you and for the anguish this has caused all of you. I feel terrible about the collateral consequences of this conviction. And well, let's keep talking about this case.
She's being a human here. I get that. But as a judge, she has the job to be impartial and based upon the facts of, unfortunately, that this person is guilty of these crimes, to lay down a punishment that is equal to the crimes that this person is convicted of. And she balks at that, doesn't do it, and says, well, he's young, he just graduated college, and she's empathetic towards him and his situation. And I get that, but it's very alarming that she would interject herself into the case where the precedence doesn't call for that alarm, that stance to be taken from a judge in general, to get involved personally in a case. If that's the case, remove yourself from the case. And let somebody else deal with it if you feel like you can't rule properly on this case. And so I bring this stuff up to say, this is a season where we need to understand what's happening, be aware of the times and seasons. And also there's the whole thing with critical race theory. She said she doesn't involve with it, even though she's given speeches, taught lectures, is involved on a school board in Washington, D.C. that implements and pushes critical race theory. It could go on and on and on and on and on. But the point I want to bring out is that we have to now understand that this is even more so now than ever a time for us to not sit back on our couches and just grab popcorn and watch a movie every night. It's time for us to use this wisdom that is out there, that this stuff is coming down the road. Think about the cases that she's going to be involved in with Title IX and the NCAA and LGBTQ stuff. The influence you'll have on the Supreme Court, in education and elsewhere, and about how we, as Americans, as freedom-loving individuals, as people who want to shine a light in our communities and our nation, and it starts more so in our communities and our families, is a time to stand up and get involved. As you see situations like this in Indiana, where the Indiana governor has vetoed a transgender ban on girls' sports. Because, well, we don't have any cases like this right now, so we're not going to go forward. We're not going to prepare for the next season. While at the same time, removing any permit requirements on concealed carry weapons. Same thing's happening in Utah, by the way. So understand the groundwork of what's happening. God is exposing this stuff right now. And I want to point to some things that are actually good. And I don't want to leave in this dreary moment. There's some good things that are coming out in some states that are beneficial for now and in the future that we could ask questions on to our local representatives who, as these new things are arising, hey, what are you doing? What can we implement this? And there's two things. One, and they're both from Florida. Well, most of them from Florida. One is Florida has now made it a requirement for high school graduates to take a financial literacy class because the Common Core standards do not require financial literacy. And most civics classes are not taught in high schools in general. So this is a step to take. Talk to your local school boards. Hey, why aren't we teaching these things? Especially if you have a kid in high school or about to be in high school, even if you're in elementary, you're involved along the way. It's going to take time to get this stuff put in. Teacher unions may fight back against this for whatever the case may be. These are things that we can get involved in and say, hey, this is what we need to be pushing for. Not this. Don't just say, we don't want critical race theory. Well, what do you want? show them an opposite plan. And I'll get to that in a second. And then also, I read this weekend. This is very good. And there's the case of whether college is worth it or not. Right now, it's ingrained in the society to send kids to college. If they're going to go to college, they need to make the right decision. And what Florida has done is built a database and gotten the colleges to show if a child, a graduate, graduates with a certain degree, what is their likelihood of an income 3 years after graduation? Is this a degree where they're not going to be able to make money? You know, parents complaining that their kids get a degree in underwater basket weaving and then wonder why they can't find a job. Or gender studies, and they wonder why they can't find a job. And it goes through the example of this writer, and it's an opinion piece of saying how he has kids about to enter college, and they're deciding on what they need to do. Now, obviously, we want to hear the Lord on what courses and what we need to do with the rest of our lives for our children. But at the end of the day, it's a step in the right direction that you could ask your local officials, state, county, parish, whatever it may be, hey, do we have something like this? It's a state-by-state issue. If we don't, could we put something like this together? Could we put the resources together to benefit the longevity of our not only colleges and universities, but for the students in this state, to keep them in this state, to not have a bleed out? Louisiana has a big problem with that, myself included. But obviously, I follow the Lord more than anything. And that leads to the point of there needs to be now, more than ever, a response from those who want to stand for freedom and righteousness. Conservative Democrat, what is your plan? And I've talked about it before, and I want to bring this up because this is very, very crucial, especially as we lead towards the midterms, of what is the plan of both parties. We know the plan of the Democrats. It's green new energy, LGBTQ, tearing down the family, pro-abortion, defunding the police, even though they say they're trying to get back to it, but they stood for it for so long. Now it's convenient for them because it's time for an election, but do you really? The question comes up. And then now you're seeing Republicans take the stance of, we don't want to put any plan forward. They have to vote us in to see what we'll do. Which is the same thing what Nancy Pelosi said, is you have to vote this bill through with Obamacare to see what's in it. Why should we be surprised that Democrats do that after the response from Republicans? And it has been the response for so long. And then when Senator Rick Scott puts out a 60-page, 11-point plan about what he wants to do, some of it's good, some of it's not so good. But it's a thing that we need to start having these discussions. And sitting here saying that's not enough, sitting here saying, well, we can't put anything forward, they just need to vote us in, waiting for the hearts and minds of men to change. The hearts and minds of men change based upon the things that we do, things that we say, the plans that we put out there. Without a plan, the people perish. So when you don't put a plan out there, they're going to go towards what is out there. And that is the left-wing, antichrist, unbiblical, unnatural agenda. That is there. And it's time to put pressure on state, federal candidates. What is your plan? Seeing them, going to pastors. Hey, how should we look at it? Louisiana does a great job with Louisiana Family Forum and of the report cards and stuff. And most states have that. Pretty much every state has that via Focus on the Family. So if you're not in Louisiana, Texas has their own, with the Patriot Academy and others. And so it's time to be that. If you're listening to my dad's podcast in the morning, it's time to be that voice, to not only activate yourselves, but to do what the Lord's calling you. The frustration you have in your heart, rightfully so, for what happened with the elections in 2022. It's time to stand up and use that frustration to activate you towards doing what God has placed in your heart, to stand up for basic natural freedoms. And you can use wisdom and revelation of how to do that. If you're in other states and you don't know, send me information where you guys are at. I can help out, research it, connect you with people and organizations. That way you can learn, you can know who to reach out to. And then also, hey, call your local representatives. hey, if you feel like you want to get involved in the school board, go get involved in the school board. Start going to meetings. If you want to get involved in the election committee because you think there's something wrong with that stuff that's happened in the last elections, get involved in the election committee. Start learning the laws. Start educating yourself. Start being a resource. Start being a weapon for freedom, not just a certain agenda, just for freedom, that righteousness and justice can come through that process. And so let's not continue to sit back on our couch and point our finger at, oh, those politicians, when we're not doing anything ourselves. Because God has called us to take a stand. God has called us to be his voice, be his arms, be his legs here on earth so that his kingdom will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I close with that. As we gain the proper perspective to be able to speak life to those who are weary, speak the heart of the Father to those who are around us in this season of encroaching darkness. And as a darkness encroaches, your light will only shine brighter now and in the days ahead. So with that, I'll close. Don't forget our link. If you guys want to sign up for our online prophetic flex for next Thursday, March 31st, 6:30 to 8:30. It's a 10-minute slot that you can sign up for to hopefully be encouraged. That's our goal, is to be encouraged from us hearing from the Lord with our prophetic teams next week. It's free. If you know somebody who maybe just needs some encouragement in this season, needs that light in this season of weariness and this darkness, let's continue to stand there. And then today we also have our noon prayer, appeal to heaven, at noon, praying and appealing to heaven for this nation and God's will over America and other nations. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.